You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell, guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so I have Jim Downs on the line, and he's founder and CEO of Blueprint CFO. Jim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Adam, and thank you for having me.
All right, Jim. So excited to get into today's topic. So we're going to talk about leveraging fractional CFOs for growth. So what does that mean? How can it help businesses? A lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives watch this. And it's a hot topic. So I'm excited to get into this. But before we do, we'll start with our Mission Matters Minute. So Jim, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, business owners, and experts. So that's our mission here. Jim, what mission matters to you?
Adam, our mission at Blueprint CFO is to help our companies, our clients, which are typically emerging growth companies. So they're very busy growing and things are kind of crazy. Help them get their arms around their data, their financial data, and use that to run their business better and make better business decisions.
It's awesome. Love bringing mission-based business owners and entrepreneurs on the line to really share why they do what they do. So great stuff there, Jim. So we will definitely go further into fractional CFOs and what that means. But before we do, tell us a little bit more about really your background and how you got started on this path.
So I started my career in where I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. And I was a CPA in Detroit at a firm called Plante Moran for 11 years. And I had a number of clients, but I had one client that I would meet with every month and go through their monthly financial statements with them and talk about how they did in the month of May and how they could do better in the month of June. And I found that that was the most fun for me, was actually diving into their numbers and trying to understand the dynamics of the business. Mm-hmm. How were they doing on bringing in new clients, selling new products? What margins were they achieving with different products? And so having all that data that typically a CPA doesn't have time to delve into, was really fun for me. And it kind of changed my life in terms of how I thought about what I wanted to do with my career.
It's awesome. And big shout out to Detroit. I don't get many Detroiters on here all the time. So for those who've been watching for a long time, Michiganders, come on. I have to give that out there because I'm always trying to bring on more people from the Mitten on the show. So awesome stuff there. So Jim, let's go further. So in today's topic, so fractional CFOs, maybe we start with just kind of defining what that is. I don't want to assume everybody watching understands the concept.
So if you think of a company, Adam, as it's growing, typically it starts out where the entrepreneur himself or herself may be doing the accounting. Yeah. And then at some point they get a bookkeeper and maybe somebody, an accounting manager at some point mm-hmm. in time. But really, as it grows and maybe gets to 5 million or 10 million in sales, things are getting a little more complicated and the finances become a little more complicated, too. Yeah. And so by bringing in a fractional CFO as somebody that can work with them on a part-time basis to help them manage their business better and to have more financial discipline on the business decision-making, budgeting, forecasting, and really thinking, helping them think strategically about how they can grow their business and learn from the things that are going on in the business that you see in the financial data already. So that's where the fractional CFO typically works with a client in our company, our firm. They'll work 8 to 12 hours a month on a part-time basis to work with the client and helping them get that data in front of them and get them to pay attention to it.
So is the key indicator here revenue? So they have to be over $5 million in revenue. Like, how does somebody know when they hit that point? Because a lot of companies, especially startups, if they're not funded, right, then if you bootstrapped your company, you're growing, you know, maybe the partners, the business partners have been kind of like delving up the duties there, and it's getting a little bit more complicated. They might have their CFP, or excuse me, their accountant, CPA. They might have them doing some of the heavy lifting, obviously, on filing the taxes and stuff like that. But how do they know when it's like, okay, we can possibly benefit from some real outside like CFO guidance?
So I think the word that comes to mind when you ask that question is growth potential. Mm-hmm. So if the company has growth potential, and it could be as small as a startup. You know, we have many clients actually that only have $1 million in sales, but they see that the opportunity to grow is significant, and they need somebody at the table, at the management team table, that has some know-how, that has been there and done that with other companies. My first client in Detroit that I worked with for 15 years actually went from zero to $50 million and won the Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2001. So, you know, it doesn't have to be any particular size, but I think the opportunity to grow with the proper management is an important factor.
Yeah, I think, and in the type of business, so it's business agnostic. So your company, and I mean, in general, you can benefit from this, whether you're, you know, CPG company, you're a service company. I mean, give us a breakdown of like, of that part of it.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because every time we get referred to a client, the question comes up, well, have you ever done anything in the, you know, drill press manufacturing?
That's why I asked you, because I already know that's everybody's mind. They're like, have you worked with our type of client?
Yeah. I mean, so just to set the table, I've been doing this for 20 years or so, and so I've worked with hundreds of companies. So typically, I have worked with somebody in the industry that's you know, similar to the prospect that we're talking to. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, because all companies have three kind of things going on in their business, in my opinion. One is they're out trying to find clients. So they have sales and marketing. And, you know, part of our job is to manage the sales and marketing and make sure that we're spending the money efficiently and getting the best productivity out of the sales team.
Yeah.
And the second part is the operation. So now you have the order and you have to deliver a service or product, and it needs to be done at a quality level and with efficiency and profitably. So again, that's where the CFO can be helpful in helping manage the business and identifying opportunities to improve productivity and profitability. And then the third part is finance and accounting. So, you know, a lot of times the owners don't see finance and accounting as something important that they should invest in. And they're leaving money on that table because really that's where all the money comes together. And that's where all the dollars and cents are. So I think all three of those need to be paid attention to. And it's across all businesses. They all have those three functions.
So I don't want this to seem as a loaded question, but it might be a little bit. I'll start off with that, right, Jim?
Sure.
So, you know, obviously every business that you walk into, they're going to have a different like thing or opportunity there. So whether it's the type of business, the size, the revenue, I know there's infinite variables there, right? But I know that you've been doing this so long and you work with so many companies that certain themes are going to tend to like come up over and over again. Like once you look under the hood, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I know some things that we can do here. What are some of those like common things that come up over and over again that are usually addressed?
Well, this is going to sound crazy, but the number one thing is not having a plan.
Yeah.
Not having a written plan for your business. And I've worked with like I said, hundreds of companies. And there, I asked the question a lot of our other CFOs. Hey, when you went into these clients and you asked them what the plan is for the future, were they able to give you a written document?
Yeah.
And many times the entrepreneur has not written down and is not clear about what their goals of the business are. And I think, you know, our job is not to be the historian, which is what most accountants are. Most accountants are looking backwards and saying, how much did you make in the prior month? Where our job is to help the client grow and be more profitable in the future. And so all part of that is, you know, what is the plan? What is the strategic plan for the business? So I think helping our clients document what their plans are for the next 1, 3, 5 years, and then creating a cash forecast that says, do you have enough money to pull that off? Because you may need to go get financing. You may need to get an investor. You know, if you're thinking about selling your business in 3 to 5 years, then you may need to start talking to an investment banker. So there's all, it all comes back to what is the plan and what is the goals for the business. And almost universally, the clients that we get do not have that well documented.
Yeah, I can see that too, especially if you come from the school of the new school, let's say, of entrepreneurship, where you don't necessarily have a really in-depth business plan on the front end. Maybe you created a platform, maybe you created something else, and your idea was just to grow it and then see what, not see what happens, but sometimes that's what happens, that you invest in an idea and then you figure out how to monetize it lately. I feel like ever since the Facebooks of the world did that, that's a thing that people do. And there's evaluations now and things like that. There's even public companies, right? That's how they, how they've launched, or the whole SPAC thing, all these things. So, so I get it now why on the other side of it, as the business starts to actually take off, there may not be that plan in place, as you mentioned. So it actually makes sense to me. So now let's take it like one step further. So let's say that you're in there, you're working with a client, you're developing this plan. Now I know, again, many different routes it could take from this, and it's going to be based on their goals and what they want. So everything's customized, I'm sure, to the client and the business. But what are some of those next things that people could be thinking about during this time?
Well, I think that, you know, one thing is maybe we have to give you some current examples. We have a client there in the e-commerce space, and their warehouse is not large enough now because their company has taken off. So they're out looking for a different building, and that's a whole big thing to figure out.
It's a good problem to have. They're growing.
How much they can afford, because real estate prices are skyrocketing in Southern California, and how can they afford to move and, you know, pass that cost on, that additional cost on to their customer, or will it, you know, have to be something they have to reduce their margin and take in house? So there's always things like that that are looming. You know, maybe you want to launch a new product, or a new service, and what is the cost of that? Or maybe you're just growing, and the question is, when do I need to hire people? And many companies, and this is a common thing that we run into all the time, many companies just hire people erratically, sporadically. They don't really have a plan in terms of, when we get to this point, we need to add more staff. And, you know, it's all done through financial data, but they don't have somebody to help them with that. And then the other thing that we don't do, taxes, but, you know, having a good tax strategy, because when you grow your company and you're making more money, that then all of a sudden you have to pay more taxes. And so that's another thing that our CFOs work with tax planning experts and tax people that do tax credits, to make sure that we're taking advantage of all the things that the tax, that are available to minimize taxes, because you don't want to make a bunch of money and then have to pay a lot of taxes. So there's just that, it goes on and on. I mean, another common thing is an incentive plan for their people. Most bonus plans, in my experience, are just made up. You know, people got $5,000 last year, so we'll give them $6,000 this year. And it's not based on their actual performance or the company's performance or their divisional performance. And so we help them formulate that and create a bonus plan that really makes sense based on how the person achieved their individual goals, how the team did in achieving their goals, and how the company did in achieving their goals. So going back to my plan, having a plan. And the plan, so let's give you an example. You go into a client and they say, hey, Jim, we want to double our business in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's easy to say, but harder to do maybe. And yes. So we help them create a plan to actually achieve that, which is broken down by month. So starting with month one, what do we need to do in order to double the business? And then we come back at the end of the month and check to see, you know, did we do what we said we were going to do? So it's adding that level of accountability to having a plan and executing it. I think that is really our number one thing that we bring to the table, that really how a CFO can help a client think through the financial parts of their business.
Yeah, and that's very helpful. And that's exactly what I wanted you to do, was start going down the laundry list of things that are possible. Because sometimes if you've never worked with a CFO, or like, let's say you've never had that big company experience, right? So in my career, I just happened to have worked for some really large companies in the past. And so when I entered the startup world, and when we started this company, I had a very different perspective of like what was possible, whether it was systems, whether it was a lot of other things, just in general of what it looks like to really grow a large business and what that business can look like, how it's a little bit harder to steer the ship the bigger it gets. And you can't just do things like maybe you could do in the beginning, like you affect more people, you affect more processes. So, juxtapose that to somebody that maybe they graduated college and they've never worked in the context of a big business, but maybe they started their own startup and they're successful. It's growing and they're doing other things. Like sometimes I feel like people don't even necessarily understand what like a CFO could bring to the table. So that's why I wanted you to go just to start going through that laundry list of potential things that a CFO could do. So Jim, let's go further into Blueprint CFO. So I know we've talked about quite a bit about what fractional CFOs could look like and that relationship, but I want to go further into the business. So tell me a little bit more about your company.
So I started, I started doing this work back when I was in Detroit. During the recession, I kind of got sidetracked to be a turnaround professional. I got certified as a turnaround professional and was working with companies that were in financial distress. Mm-hmm. But I really didn't want to work with companies that were in trouble. I wanted to work with companies that had a lot of potential and I could help them achieve that potential. So in October of 2019, I founded Blueprint CFO. And the concept is there's a lot of, in the outsourced accounting world, mm-hmm. there's a lot of companies that do outsourced accounting, but they have a kind of a sideline of doing CFO work.
Yeah.
And when I founded Blueprint CFO, the concept was that we are a CFO consulting firm. Mm-hmm. And that we work, if the client does only wants accounting services, then that's fine. But that's not our thing. We want to work with clients and bring in a CFO who will help determine what accounting services are necessary and get those services at the lowest cost, whether we do the work or they do it internally or we outsource it to another firm. That's our job, is to make sure that we're just like every other cost in the business, that we're managing costs and keeping the cost down for finance and accounting. But we do great accounting. That's number one.
Yeah.
So since October of 2019, we now have, and this has happened over the last 3 or 4 months, we now have 4 CFOs. So I'm one, wow. And then there's 3 other CFOs. And my goal is...
Congrats, by the way. That's a big deal. That's awesome.
In the CFO, fractional CFO world, typically most CFOs are working by themselves and don't have a financial accounting team to help them. So they have to do everything themselves, and they do it at their billing rate, which is expensive. So we have 4 CFOs and 9 accountants. So we can ask our accountants to get us the data we need to do our thing and, do the analysis that we think is necessary to get a handle on the things that are working and not working in the business. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge competitive advantage for us, because we can do things at a cheaper price point than a single CFO can do.
No, that's great. And so speaking of like competitive advantages and things that, you feel that make Blueprint CFO stick out a bit. So that's one of them is just the structure. What are some other things that maybe clients say that they enjoy working with your company because of?
Well, it's like all companies, and I do this with my clients too, and that is the people.
Yeah.
And so I've been, I started Blueprint in October of 2019, but I worked in the outsourced accounting world with 2 other firms going back to 2015 when I left KPMG. Mm-hmm. And along the way, I met a lot of very talented accountants. And mm-hmm. I found, and when I started my own firm, I reached out to all of them, and many of them have joined Blueprint CFO. So I have an accounting team that makes me look good every single day because they give me financial reports that the clients are just, you know, I'll use the word blown away when they get these reports in there because they've never seen this kind of data about their company.
Yeah.
And you know, they're like, oh my God, I didn't know that was happening, you know, which is crazy. But when you're growing your company, there's a lot of data out there, even if you're a small company that if you're not paying attention to it. You know, we had that exam. We had something happen with us where we thought where we were getting clients. I had this in my head what I thought was the truism about where mm-hmm. clients came from for us. And when I actually did the statistics, I found out that only 10% of our clients came from banks where I thought we were getting most of our referrals, which was so, you know, instinctively, I was thinking and running by my gut saying this is how we go find clients. And I found out when I actually looked at the data, that wasn't even true. So that's a real life example for Blueprint. So I think the number one thing, though, is our people and then the way we do things. We have a monthly financial package we present to the mm-hmm. client that is not just the balance sheet and income statement, which I call a bunch of numbers. Yeah. It has charts and graphs that show the client trends that are happening in the data with respect mm-hmm. to revenue, margins, expenses, and and typically, we spend about an hour with the client every month going through that package, page by page, and graph by graph, and chart by chart. And they love it. They've never had that visibility to what's going on in their business without us bringing that to the table.
I want to go further down the line of that concept of visibility. So, like, there's different types of business owners, there's different types of businesses, obviously, and there's different stages of growth. That's pretty straightforward. But, like, why is visibility so important and to be data driven and to really run the business by the number? I know that might seem like an obvious question, but for those that are watching this, I mean, there's multi-million dollar businesses, you know, that are doing very well that, you know, maybe people don't know their margins or they don't have certain things and they just grew it kept growing. And sometimes people fall into that, you know, this is the way we've always done it pattern, you know, don't break it if it's not broken, if it's working, all those other truisms, if you will. Like, so if you haven't been running with a very numbers and data driven business, like, tell me more about like that concept of visibility and why it's so important.
It's hard to describe why it's so important without going into case studies, actually. But just in general, I would say clients, if they're not using their accounting department properly, tend to run their business by logging into their bank account every morning and seeing how much cash they have in the bank.
Yeah.
And so if they have a lot of cash in the bank, they think they must be doing pretty good. Or they get their financials, their income statement from their accounting department, and they go to the bottom line that says how much money they made in the last month.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't look at the rest of the numbers. And so not paying attention to the numbers, they don't see the value of spending money on accounting. And mm-hmm. maybe when the numbers come to them, they don't even make sense to them, but they're not accountants. So they don't know how to fix it. And they don't even know how to read the financial statements a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So one case in point is we had a client a year ago, and they're a trucking and logistics company, and they use a lot of temporary help. Hmm. And one of the things we showed them was that the percentage of the revenue they were spending on temporary help had gone from 5% to 7%, which was about $100,000 more per month. And when we showed that to the owner, he got on the phone with the head of operations and said, "Jerry, do you realize our operation, you know, that our temp labor has gone up $100,000 a month since January?" And okay, well,
that's significant.
You could say, how would he know that without us giving that to him, you know, and pointing that out? Because it's if you look at a typical income statement, it could be 300 numbers.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just looking at one month, you're not seeing the trend going across from, you know, January, February, March, you know, so you really need somebody with that analytical perspective to dive into those numbers and help them make sense for the business owner so that they can take action and not have to do it themselves, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, and that's a great example, by the way. So like that's, you know, 1.2 million if they were, if they were an additional expense that they may not have known. And if you're just doing this on the quarterly or even looking at the year end, and then that's when you do your deep dive, then maybe you didn't have time to, you didn't have time to adjust. And maybe, you know, in this particular case, it could have cost a significant amount where it did, they could have done something else could, like they might've hired somebody. I mean, there's other options, but if you don't know the numbers, if you don't know where the expenses are coming from, and if you don't see the changes there on that minuscule level, then you can't adjust, right?
Right. I mean, without having good data that's accurate and timely, you're just kind of flying by, you know, flying blind. I use the example of an airplane pilot trying to fly a plane without having any instruments at work, you know, so they're going to maybe land it okay, but you know, wouldn't it be a lot better if they had all these instruments telling them how's this doing and how's that doing? You know, you wouldn't even want to get on an airplane that wasn't, that all the instruments didn't work. So how do you fly your business if you don't have instruments telling you, you know, how your sales and marketing is doing and bringing in new clients? And, you know, are they profitable? Are they the right clients that you want to get? And, you know, how much inventory do you have of your top sellers? That's another typical thing when you have inventory, is making sure you're managing that inventory properly, because there's a lot of money tied up in that. It kind of is hard to describe to people, you know, and going back to what you said initially, a lot of times when we get a new client, they say, well, I have no idea what a CFO can do for me, because they view the CFO as just kind of like a super accountant. But the CFO is really the strategy person that sits at the side of the business owner and helps him or her figure out, you know, from a financial perspective, how they should grow their business and make more money. It's very important. And if you go back and look at many, many entrepreneurs who have been successful, they always have a good financial person helping them.
Awesome. Well, Jim, I just have to say this has been great. So learning more, of course, about Blueprint CFO, but also, you know, for the business owners out there and the people that are watching this to understand, like if they don't have a CFO, if they're at that point to where they're maybe looking for more than just their day-to-day accounting and they're looking at strategy and other things like this, like the differences it can make to really engage with a fractional CFO and what that looks like. So again, this has been awesome. So what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for Blueprint CFO?
I think it was Stephen Covey said there's two stakeholders of every business that can walk at any time, and it's customers and employees. And so my focus as CEO of Blueprint CFO is we want to become a national firm helping business owners across the country with the running their business better using their data. And that comes down to, you know, being good at finding those businesses and attracting them to our services, because I don't think there's anybody doing quite what we're doing in the marketplace right now. Wow. CPAs are just way too busy just doing audits and taxes, and they don't have the time to delve into their client's business and help them in the way that we do. And their billing rates are way higher than ours too, typically. And, but secondly is the people, you know, and I'm looking to attract more CFOs to our firm. We're getting the word out that we're growing and we're going to be a professional service firm, similar to a CPA firm, where you can be part of a firm where you have, you know, other people to bounce ideas off of, and you have a team of accountants to help you do the reporting that you don't have to do yourself anymore if you're a CFO. So we're looking for, you know, CFOs to join our team and be part of the growth of Blueprint nationally and maybe even internationally. We'll see.
Fantastic. Well, again, pleasure having you on the show. If somebody wants to learn more about Blueprint CFO, Jim, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, I think our website is a good source of information about Blueprint, because we have a lot of case studies on there.
Yeah.
So if you're a business owner and you think maybe you might need help from a CFO on a fractional basis, if you go onto our website, you'll see a lot of case studies that might, you know, correlate to the things that you see in your business that you might need help with. You know, I think that's the number one thing. Other than that, you can call me at 949-405-5440, and I'm glad to have a chat about your business and how maybe a fractional CFO could help you run your business better and make more money.
Fantastic. And we'll put that website in the show notes so everybody can just click on it. It's really easy to get to. So we'll make that experience pretty, pretty simple there. So Jim, again, appreciate you coming on the show today. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based business owners, entrepreneurs, and experts coming on, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Jim, again, it has been a pleasure working with you today. Thanks again.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you very much for having me on the show.